Are you looking for a first communion, confirmation, or graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with leaders from across the country and all around the world who are all united by a shared belief in the glory of God and the power of prayer.
I believe that God is love, which is more accurate than saying that love is God. God is the epitome of love. He defines what love is.
No, not so, dear brother. I did not point you down that path so that baptism should grant the liberty to sin. Quite the opposite.
To stray from God's created order and God's created design then becomes a direct attack on the triune God of love in whose image we are made.
Southern Illinois bird watchers love Issues, etc.
It's interesting how these very simple Bible stories, even the ones that we teach our children in Sunday school, get turned around sometimes. Now, the heading in the New Testament there at Matthew 14 says Jesus walks on water. It talks about what Jesus did. But lately, I've been hearing various preachers, pastors talk about this account from time to time, and it's become about what we do. It's actually the account of Peter walking on the water rather than Jesus walking on the water, and the lesson is usually something like, well, in your life, if you really have faith, you're going to get out of that boat. You're going to think outside the box and leave your comfort zone. After all, that was Peter's comfort zone, his boat, and you're going to get out and you're going to walk on water too. What's wrong with that reading of this account in Matthew 14 of Jesus walking on the water? We do teach these things, by the way, to our children. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, May the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Walking on the Water. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. A little bit later, Anna Mussman joins us. She's written recently for The Federalist a piece titled, How Pretending We Can Control Our Kids' Happiness Fuels Mom Guilt. We'll talk about unrealistic motherhood expectations, sometimes that they place upon themselves. Then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us. Our series on introducing the books of the Bible continues, but we actually come to the very last book in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, in hour two of Issues, Etc. You can join us with questions or comments. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at IssuesETC, and the Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Walking on the Water, in Matthew 14, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What's wrong with teaching this as essentially Peter walks on the water? This is a lesson about what we need to do if we really have faith. We'll leave our comfort zone and get out of our boat, so to speak, and step out in faith.
Well, first of all, if that were true, then you would have to say there were no Christians on the Titanic who drowned, because they were unable to walk on water, and it wasn't because of a lack of faith. There was no promise from God concerning water. I did a sermon recently on tribulations, and I was trying to make the point that a lot of our tribulations do not come about because of our sin, but because we're living in a fallen world. We have bad weather. We have flooded houses. We have broken families, and a lot of times it may not be for a personal sin we have done. But the point I was making was Martin Luther in the Heidelberg Disputation indicates that it is an error to think that we can overcome tribulations by doing something, by working them out, by putting into another kind of effort. Because the tribulations are often the work of Satan to move us away from Jesus. And how does he do that? He does not want us to trust in Jesus, but instead trust in our faith. so that instead we will make a decision, and if we have enough faith, that will take place. I don't care how much faith a person has, but there's nobody who's walking on water these days, regardless of where they think they are in the level of Christian faith, very great or very little. So we need to be real careful that we don't see the tribulation we're facing, that is overcome by our works and our deeds. God doesn't say he won't permit tribulation to come. He says he will deliver us from tribulation. It doesn't mean it will disappear, but by believing the promises that he gives us, we will be enabled to cope with the tribulation or whatever the devil throws at us.
Tell us the story of Jesus walking on the water.
The story is important to understand that it came after an event that we're all quite familiar with in Matthew, the feeding of the 5,000. And then we have Jesus who ends up walking on the water. That's almost the reverse of what happened, of course, in the Exodus. The people of Israel are all nervous and afraid because the Egyptians are rushing after them and they're blocked by the Red Sea. In that incident, God opens the Red Sea so they can walk through, after which he also feeds them with manna, birds, and gives them sufficient water to drink. So what we have in Matthew is almost a reverse of the Exodus, with the Old Testament, first of all, talking about the Red Sea crossing, second, that they are fed manna. And by the way, this happens at night, whereas in the New Testament, it's reversed. First, the feeding of the 5,000. Second, the crossing of the Sea of Galilee. But this also happens at night. In fact, it says it takes place during the fourth watch. And understanding that to be Roman time, there were four watches divided by 3 hours each, starting at 6 at night. This would be the time near daybreak between 3 and 6 a.m. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us this, but John 6, verse 19 tells us the disciples were rowing on the Sea of Galilee, although it's really a large lake, trying to go over to the other side. And John 6, verse 14 indicates they had been rowing 3 or 4 miles. That was John 6, verse 19. So, Jesus had left them, dismissed the crowds after the feeding of the 5,000, and he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. This is not at all unusual that before some great event, we find Jesus praying to God the Father. So when evening came, he was there alone. Now, he told the disciples to go before him to the other side, and they had not yet arrived. The boat was still a long way from the land, being beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. So, in the fourth watch of the night, just a simple verse 25, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." Now, in the original language, a lot of times the Holy Spirit is referred to as Holy Ghost, and the Greek word is pneuma. But when they speak about a ghost, this is a different Greek word where we get the word phantasm. That's actually what the Greek is. And it's usually referring to some kind of apparition, maybe a product of their fantasy or their idea of thinking this was really a ghost, a specter. So they really believed it was a ghost. They cried out in fear. Immediately, and that word immediately is something fun to look up in the Bible too, because every time the word immediately appears in the Gospels, something significant is about to be said by Jesus. And what does he say? Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Now, when you read the English, you will miss out entirely on what Jesus has just said. He has said, "It is I." If you'll remember in Exodus, when Moses was at the burning bush, Jesus appeared to him. And when Moses asked him, "Okay, you want me to go to Egypt? What is your name? They're going to want to know your name." And Jesus says, "Yahweh," or translated into the English, "I am who I am." Now, in the Greek, there's only one word necessary to say "I am." It's emi, E-I-M-I. But when you're referring to the name of God, you put ego in front of that, E-G-O, which is the pronoun I. And so what you're getting is, "I am who I am." Jesus uses ego eimi when he says to the disciples, "Take heart, it is I." Jesus is admitting the name of God for himself that is found in Exodus 3:14. And so, "Do not be afraid." Now, does that mean that every time we're in a situation, getting kind of back to your original question, where we may be afraid, that if only we have enough trust in Jesus, we won't be afraid? No. There's no word we often hear of Jesus speaking to us personally, saying, "I am here, do not be afraid." Now, in this case, they're going to be delivered from being drowned. That was not a message to many people on the Titanic. So they could be afraid, but how do you overcome your tribulation? You do so by remembering the promises of God. And we're told that on the Titanic, they were singing Christian hymns in order to bolster their faith, not thinking that they would escape from being drowned, but their faith would be increased. Well, Peter does recognize it's Jesus, or he says this, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Verse 29 is really one of the most important verses in this episode. It really shouldn't be talking about Jesus walking on the water, but Jesus giving a command for Peter to walk on the water. Now, why is that important? Well, there's two things about the law that Christians understand. Number one, it's the will of God. So anytime that God shares with us his will, that is his command. The problem is none of us are able to do it. So when he says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid, and come to me," well, what does Peter do? And perhaps we need to take a break at this point, and we can talk about that when we get back from the break, if that is okay there, Todd.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson Jesus walks on the water. We'll talk about that command and that promise that Peter receives and what he does.
Preacher man talking on TV, putting down the rock and roll. Wants me to send a donation, cause he's worried about my soul. He said Jesus walked on the water, and I know that it's true.
You can meet and hear Matt Walsh, Ross Douthat, Carol Tobias, Matt Harrison, Hans Feeney, Wesley Smith, Will Whedon, Jonathan Fisk, and Tom Korchak at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Registration is $125. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you a high school guy or girl interested in theology and thinking about becoming a pastor or deaconess? Christ Academy High School at Concordia Theological Seminary is the thing for you. Spend 2 weeks worshiping and learning like a seminary student while having fun and building lasting friendships. Join us this summer at Christ Academy from June 16th to the 29th. Visit ctsfw.edu/ca for more info.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday, May the 13th, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, the lesson of Jesus walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14. So, Tom, you brought us to the point here where Peter has recognized Jesus. Jesus has identified himself. And then Jesus issues this command to him that he should come. Pick it up there.
Yes, I want to add the word that you added, which was really wise. It's more than a command. It's a promise. So Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk on the water and come to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." If this isn't a beautiful example of law and gospel, I can't think of what would be. If you look at Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments are not really written in the imperative as they are written in kind of future indicatives. I am the Lord your God, and when you believe that, you will have no other gods before me, you won't take my name in vain, you'll remember the Sabbath, you'll honor your father and mother, etc., etc. We try to do that, and we fail all the time. And so we repent, asking Jesus to save us. What does he do? He does to us what Jesus did to Peter. He reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they both got into the boat, the wind ceased. If this isn't the message that Jesus begins his ministry, it's a message of repentance and faith in the promises of God. What Peter does, he hears the command, and we need to understand that when God gives us a command, he is the one who promises it will be fulfilled. but we're unable to fulfill it, which leads us to repentance. And that's what Peter was doing when he cried out, "Lord, save me." It's a beautiful example of repentance because it has both parts. It's contrition over his failure to believe enough, and it's also a recognition he's dealing with God himself, the Lord. And that's what Jesus did on the cross for us. He reached out to us with his hands and his feet spiked against the cross and even said to those, "Father, forgive them, for they are of little faith. They don't realize what they are doing." And they got into the boat. This is a beautiful example of all of us who attempt to walk on the water because we desire to obey God's will, but we are unable to do it. But because God has given a promise to the faithful, we end up fulfilling it in the eyes of God. How does that happen? Remind the children that when they were baptized, they not only had their sins forgiven, but they also received the gift of the Holy Spirit, who brought with him not only faith, but what we refer to as the robe of righteousness. So, when Peter dies, from God the Father's point of view, he did walk on the water because Jesus did it for him and transferred that gift over to him by taking hold of him and bringing him up into the boat. And everybody in the boat then worshiped Jesus, confessing, "Truly you are the Son of God." Kind of reminding us of that other time he was asleep in the boat, and then the wind ceased, and they recognized him. Boy, who is this person? Now, they still had a weak faith. It wasn't until after Pentecost, until they recognized how divine he truly was, but they were growing in their faith, which all of us need to be doing. So I would say that this is a great Sunday school lesson to help the children understand when God gives us a command, we should do the best we can in fulfilling it, but when we're unable to do so, it's a way of recognizing we are repentant of our failure. Turn to Jesus, who will stretch out his arm and save us with both the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness.
When they make that confession, Tom, "Truly you are the Son of God," why are they saying that? And what do you think is the meaning of their words at that particular point?
At that particular point, they were confident that he was the Son of God, but they did not fully understand that. And in fact, the first time anybody calls him God, "My God and my Lord," is Thomas. That's the first time a disciple refers to Jesus as God. And that is the week after the resurrection, because Thomas was missing the first night, and then he saw Jesus, and that was his exclamation. So just like they used the Son of Man, and whether or not they were fully aware that he was divine, they had enough information concerning the phrase Son of God, which meant he was very special. And perhaps they were remembering Daniel chapter 7, where God the Father, as the Ancient of Days, sends the Son of Man, who is Jesus Christ, to redeem the world. But they were still growing in the faith. If they knew him to be God, they would not have been disturbed when he was crucified. Instead, they would have applauded, recognizing that the promises of God from the Old Testament were now being fulfilled.
So what's the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children from this very familiar story of Jesus walking on the water?
Yes. The simple law is things happen in life, we call them tribulations, to show us we are not in control of our destiny. And they can get to such a point that we become desirous of finding that outside of us, which is the gospel. And therefore, when we feel we're sinking, even though we try to obey God's commandments, the gospel message is Jesus still reaches out to us who are weak in the faith because of his love for us and because of the promises he made to weak believers. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of you. And the hundreds of other promises in the Bible that come to those of us who do not deserve these promises fulfilled. And that's why we refer to Jesus as, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Trinity of mercy.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anna Musma joins us after this. We are going to talk with her about not only the unrealistic expectations put on mothers around Mother's Day, but the unrealistic expectations that mothers put on themselves. And we'll answer the question, how has abortion rhetoric and abortion ideology radically changed the way we think about what it means to be a mother?
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Christians confess these words each week during the Divine Service. But have you ever wondered, who is the Holy Spirit? Join Curtis Giese, Jeffrey Oswald, Charles Geeshan, and others in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness as they consider the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Special highlights include a Bible study by Matt Richard and an original Pentecost hymn text by Mark Preuss. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
Sanctifying your vocations with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John's Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. Emmaus Lutheran, South Bend, Indiana. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Port Sanilac, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. And St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.